Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
If you guys have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, go find a Christian, sit next to them. That was ouch for some people. Or you have a phone Bible. It all counts. Ephesians chapter 1. But a few weeks ago, really just wrestling, praying with God, like, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to speak? And obviously, I get to hear Pastor Andrew, Pastor Ashley, and I try to follow themes. And I talk with some people and be like, what's God doing in this house? And I'm driving home from work one day, and there was nothing wrong with what I did. I just put a sermon on because I'm just mellowing out. Either I'm listening to worship or I'm listening to a sermon. And about 5 minutes into the sermon, I feel the Holy Spirit say, turn it off. All right. Turned it off. And I feel the Holy Spirit prompt me. He said, you don't need more information. You need more revelation. And to me, I was like, oh, dang. All right. That hits home. Like, because I'm all about information, right? Like, I want to learn. I want to know things. So for me, I'm just like, all right, what does that mean, God? And a whole car ride home, 30, 45 minutes, he just beautifully ministered to me about the difference between information or knowledge and revelation. So I want to share with you guys this morning, if you would let me, to share the difference, what the difference is between knowledge and revelation. Because there is a difference when it comes to the kingdom of God. See, you can know something, but until it's been revealed to you by the Spirit of God, it remains just that, knowledge. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, when they're trying to deal with some kind of religious things that have come through to the Corinthian church, and then the Jews are telling them they have to do certain things. And it was this place out of knowledge that they would condemn the new Christians, the Gentiles who were coming to faith, by telling them they had to keep certain rules and stuff. And what Paul's saying is that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And he's saying that the mentality and the attitudes behind these rules or this knowledge or this information that they're trying to push was out of a wrong motive, and it wasn't the motive of God. Countless times we see in Jesus' ministry, what does he do? He confronts people in their wrong believing, in their belief about a particular things, and then confronts it, flips it on its head and says, no, that this is the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom principle. Jesus approaches a blind man, and what the disciples said, they said, who sinned, this man or their parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus flips it and said, neither, it's so that the Son of Man can be glorified. You see, because he confronted what they thought that they knew about something in their minds with the revelation of the true heart of God towards somebody who God wanted to bless and heal. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, if you're there.
One-handedly opening.
Ephesians 1, 15 to 18, it should be behind me. It says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. See, Paul had been at the church in Ephesus only a few years back, and he had seen the faith that they had towards Jesus, and they had the love, and he saw that the love that they had for one another in verse 15. But now he writes, all right, you've got that part. You've got that initial thing, what it is to have faith in Jesus. But what you need to know is that there is more. And in verse 17, Paul writes, and he says that he's praying that the church in Ephesus would receive the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, God the Father. Man, I was so excited when Andrew said that last week on Ephesians 1. Oh, my heart dropped. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock. It didn't happen, but it gave me an extra week to prepare. And I tell you what, I love how the NIV puts Ephesians 1 in that verse 17. It says that you would receive the spirit of wisdom and of revelation so that you may know him better. And I just want to extend out another invitation. I know you've already had two this morning, but there is an invitation that you can know God better this morning. There's an invitation. Let's come ready to receive. See, they had a knowledge of the gospel, the church in Ephesians, Paul was addressing. They had a knowledge of the gospel, of they had a knowledge of Jesus, but what they lacked is the continued revelation to know him better. And if you read through the letter, it's a beautiful, it's like six chapters of Paul just outlining different ways we can approach God, different doctrines, and how we can understand him better. I just got through in my own personal devotion time, going through the book of Acts, just a real heart of wanting to see the early church. And it says in chapter 18, there was a man named Apollos. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he's a very short character in there somewhere. And he was a Jew from Egypt. And he says that he was a kind of an evangelist. We see him getting up to evangelistic exploits. He's telling people about Jesus. He's defending the faith. He's an apologist. And scripture says that he was an eloquent of speech and mighty in the scriptures. And we read in verse 25 of chapter 18 that Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. See, being that he was familiar with the baptism of John, he would have understood Jesus and faith in the Messiah, the one to come, but he was unaware of the significance of Jesus' death and resurrection, and especially the doctrine of the indwelling of the Spirit. This kind of what he had missed. He only had a partial revelation of the gospel of Jesus. And at the end of chapter 18, we see some Christians who knew Paul. They knew him well, and it's Priscilla and Aquila, and they take him aside. They see Apollos preaching the gospel, and they take him aside and go, cool, you've got that part, but know that there's more. And they start sharing him, especially the impartation of the Holy Spirit. And what we see next is Apollos' ministry just goes gangbusters. Spirit of God comes, and that explodes, and he starts able to accurately and sufficiently preach Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. At the His ministry was transformed with proper revelation. You turn over not just a few scriptures, we see in chapter 19. Again, Paul approaches some disciples who only knew the baptism of John. And when Paul comes up to them, he says, have you guys received the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. What is it? Paul says, let me tell you. He preaches the gospel, and instantly they're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And then again, partial revelation then turns into full and proper revelation with the Spirit that brings the revelation. There is a difference between the knowledge of Jesus and the Spirit revealing Jesus. There is a difference between the knowledge of the scriptures and the doctrines and the Lord sending his Spirit to reveal the true heart of his scriptures and those doctrines. Amen? You guys know that there's a guy named John, and he wrote a book named Revelation. Great book, right at the end. And if you understand that book, come talk to me because I'd like to know about it. But the word used, revelation, especially in Ephesians 1 and the book of Revelation, the Greek word, the translation is apocalypsis, and it literally means to have the veil or cover removed from one's head. So their eyes have become open, their ears can now hear, they can now understand with their mind the things that are happening in the spiritual realm. Plenty of unbelievers know about God. It doesn't mean that they know God. If we look at the scriptures in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about we are without excuse. We all have a revelation of God. You only need to go down to the beach this afternoon and have fish and chips with your family to see the sunset and the beauty to realize there is a creator and I am a creation. And then Paul's saying we are without excuse. But the only thing is not all of us understand the identity of who the true God is. And that only comes through proper revelation. And it is only by the grace of God. Know this, it's only by the grace of God that he would send the Spirit to come and reveal Jesus to you. We see this in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 13. If you guys want to turn there, it'll be up on the screen. The disciples said, Jesus, we don't understand all these things that you're saying. A lot of the people that are listening to you don't understand the things you're saying. In fact, they're leaving in droves. What's up with that? And Jesus says in 13:13-17, he says, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their eyes they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, verse 15, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and many righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The disciples, being in very close proximity to Jesus, had been given the spiritual discernment. We know if we look at them, some journeyed along it, some got it quicker than others. There's so much grace for the ones that couldn't understand it. But it's by grace and by the love of God the Father that he would reveal Jesus to each and every one of you who are believers here this morning. But we see, and it's a hard thing to hear sometimes, but the people that continually reject Jesus, like the ones we read about, well, like the ones I spoke about in Romans chapter 1, the people Paul says reject the knowledge of Jesus, they were left in spiritual blindness, never being able to make sense of what Jesus taught, because the veil or the covering was not removed from their head so they could understand fully. Know that it is only by God's loving kindness this morning that you've had Jesus revealed to you. And so this morning, man, like what I wanted to share is this revelation in my own personal journey that's just been such a treasure to me over the past few months. And not too long ago, like we had this morning, which was such a beautiful time of ministry this morning and even last week, I was just, a few months back, I responded and I just came up to the front. Holy Spirit's like, get up there. So I found someone. And all the simple prayer when they ask, what can I pray for, is I just want to know him more. I just want more of him, actually. I should be specific. I just want more of him. And it was a simple prayer, but without even thinking about it, this simple prayer was going to accomplish so much from between then and to now. It was just a seed, a prayer that I prayed that it was a seed. And then that night after, really didn't experience anything supernatural, but my friend sends me a copy of this piece of paper. It was actually a link to a copy of a piece of paper. Now, I hope you're all aware of like how to format pages, because there are things called columns and rows. And they're different, apparently. So columns run straight up and down. Rows run horizontally, right? And so this piece of paper, there you go, Word, Microsoft Word 101. So this piece of paper had three columns and it was broken up into a number of different rows. In fact, I did print off a whole bunch of these. So if you want one after, let me know. But the three columns were titled at the top, and on the left-hand side, it said, the spirit of an orphan. On the right-hand side, the spirit of sonship. And in the middle column, it said, it named all these different themes about your source of comfort, your view on authority, all these different things. And on each side, it said how either a son would respond or a daughter would respond to the father when it comes to this, or how an orphan would respond. Orphan in the sense that you don't know your God is father. You don't know him as Father God. And I was scrolling through. It was very interesting. And I got to the segment theology, which I'm wildly passionate about. And on the left-hand side, which is the spirit of an orphan, said, you respond or you live your life out of the love of the law. The son was the law of love. So sons and daughters respond out of the law of love. Orphans respond out of the love of the law. Now for me, I've got very defensive, and something started to well up inside me because I remember Psalms 119 when the psalmist says, I meditate on your law. I love it. It's a treasure to me. And this is something that resonated with me. I love the law of God. So why am I reading that I'm responding as an orphan? So now there is a tension between what I think I know in my mind and something that is that something that's new that the Spirit is trying to reveal to me at the time. But obviously, out of emotions, we don't tend to always take that correction. But he's so gracious in acting up. Anyway, I texted my friend a very mature response. I said, that's very interesting. Very passive-aggressive, probably. But it was food for thought, and it was something that I had to pray through, something I had to journey through. And the next day, I went to work, and I'm driving to work in the morning, and I'm still thinking it. I'm still playing it over in my mind, like, God, what is this? And during my morning, I find myself scrolling through different responses, first of the orphan, and then I look at how the son would respond to particular things. And I found myself responding way more as an orphan as I did with a son. And so I was like, God, what is up with that? Like, I've prayed the prayers. I've sung the songs. Caroline and I have been at Urban, now Newmar, for like 4 years now. This is the Father God Church. Like, this is if there was ever a group of people who knew God the Father, it was these people. But I'm just in and amongst you pretending like I did, right? And I know, and I feel God bring me to this place, and it was so humbling. And I work all by myself, so I can spend as much time with the Lord as I want. So don't judge. Like, where I don't do much work sometimes. Sometimes I spend time with the Lord, and that's good. And I feel God bring me to this place, like in such humility, that my knowledge of God being a father wasn't the same as me knowing God as my father. And it was a very humbling time that day. I didn't get much work done because I cried and I prayed and I read the list and I cried and I prayed. And I could not pray anything other than, Holy Spirit, would you reveal the Father to me? It was a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, would you reveal the Father? And so that was something I'm still journeying with now, but even up until a couple of weeks ago, we were at staff discipleship here on Wednesday, and Claire was running a staff teaching, and she decided to print out the same piece of paper and hand it around to everyone. So either I hadn't got it yet, or God really wanted me to share it with you guys this morning. I don't feel like this is a message that you feel like you walk away and learnt something. But I do pray that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation would come and dwell on each and every one of you, because there's not any way in which I can convince you that God is your Father. That's the role of the Spirit. Amen. Now, Pastor Andrew shared a few weeks back on the blood on the doorpost and Jesus is the Passover lamb. And for me, I'm just like, dang, yeah, that's the gospel preacher. I love that. And I was ready to share a gospel message. I knew when I was coming up on the calendar, I was like, all right, we're leaning into the gospel, the atoning blood of Jesus, Passover lamb. This is my jam, right? But I felt the Holy Spirit highlight to me that the gospel message, as beautiful as it is incomplete without a revelation of God the Father. The gospel is the good news. The good news is that the Father loved the world that he gave his only Son. And the Son not only goes to the cross for the ones the Father loves, but Jesus also came to reveal the Father to sons and daughters. We read in John chapter 17, which is just it's a beautiful passage of dialogue between God the Father and Jesus. It's Jesus praying to God the Father, and it's so beautiful. But he says in John 17, verses 25 and 26, it says, I have made you known to them. and I will continue to make it known to them that the love you have for me, you also have for them. He spoke to the disciples of the Father's great love for them, and not only them, but for us, through faith, adopted into as sons and daughters to God the Father. And then he beautifully demonstrated it on the cross. We see the picture of the gospel. And it was according to the Father's great love for us and the will of the Father, the one who sent him, that he would do that. See, the gospel of Jesus is incomplete without proper revelation of God as the Father and the love that he has for each and every one of you guys, sons and daughters. And kind of even reflecting on that over the past few weeks, my prayer when I came up for prayer was symptomatic of the fact that I had an insufficient revelation of who the Father was. Like I had to come and pray, God, I want more of you. Like a child needs to go to their father and say, Dad, would you be more present? I want more of you. Like we shouldn't need to approach God like that, should we? Like as a father who loves us, it's not like we need to ask him, God, I want more of you. He's there. Father God is there and he's ready to receive and to meet you whenever you want. And this is where the problem lies, I think, is that too often, through no fault of our own, I'm going to get real because it's a real thing, what we do is we project the relationships that we have with our earthly fathers, kind of like a word association, onto God the Father. And we kind of imagine that God would react the same way that we have experienced here on earth with our earthly fathers. Caroline and I, about 5 years ago, we were married 5 years at that point, and we did some marriage counseling. Oh, I know, crazy. We did marriage counseling. I wonder what was wrong with those guys. But who thinks they know? Nah. There was nothing wrong. It was 100% the best thing that we have ever done as far as investment into our relationships, like if I'm being honest. If there's one relationship that I want to work, that I want to see and last a distance, is the relationship I have with Caroline, my best friend. So we went and did this relationship counseling. And you don't need to be struggling in your relationships to benefit from having someone older and more mature pour spiritual wisdom into that so you guys can run the race. So we sat down, and I don't know if you guys have been there, but we were asked a few different questions about our upbringing and if we were happy as children and the kind of relationships we had with our family and all those kind of things. And in mid-conversation, she asks me, what was your relationship like with your father? And that was a nerve that I did not know was there before. And as soon as she said it, I was like ugly crying. I could not talk. I was like head in hands. My glasses went across the room. I was like, I don't want to have to deal with this at the moment. But that simple question revealed so many things in me that I hadn't dealt with, that I maybe thought that I did, but I hadn't. Because my parents separated when I was 12. We all went with mum and four of us boys, so there's four boys. I know, crazy. And we all went with mum. And we very rarely got to see dad for the first few years. There was a whole dilemma and stuff. And I don't have to be, I'm definitely by no means a family psychologist. I don't understand it completely, but I don't think that distance between parents and children is a great relationship builder. I think parents and children need some continuity to be able to build relationships and to build identities, especially the children. You can disagree with me if you like. But let me say this morning, that fathers do, and this is a shout out to all you dads in here because you guys do an incredible job. Fathers do more than provide for their families and act as a male presence. Y'all are more than role models. The identities of the children are very much formed through the relationships they have with their fathers and their mothers, or people that father and mother them. You can be a father and not father. There's a difference. And I don't want to offend anyone. this morning, but when I had this revelation, I was happy to take it. I was like, yeah, you go, God, that God is a better father. We will go through scripture and we'll talk about types. Like, I'm all about types. I see types of Jesus all through scripture. Jesus was the better priest. He was the better prophet. He was the better sacrifice. He was the better Adam. God is a better father. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You have a better father and you can know him and you can find your identity in him. He loves without condition. As much as God loved his son Jesus and poured out his affection on him when Jesus was being baptized in the Jordan or when he was being transfigured on the mountain, we see this voice coming from heaven. It was God the Father saying, this is my son who I am well pleased. And he loves you with the same amount of affection and devotion for his son because you have loved Jesus. And let me tell you this morning, if you don't know him like that, it's because you haven't allowed the Spirit of God to reveal God as a father. And this morning, we are going to pray that the Spirit reveals him further. So if I could get the worship team up, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and if heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified in him. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is incomplete without proper revelation of who God the Father is. We know the verse oh so well, John chapter 3, verses 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that who would ever believe would receive everlasting life. See, the God the Father, he loved. He first loved, and then he gave. And it's incomplete if we do not know the Father's great love for us. We can't even understand John 3:16 without coming to a point of, man, oh, God, you loved? And I think that's where we get it so wrong, because sometimes we can't understand or believe that God would love. And that's a real soft spot for, I know a lot of people just like, oh dang, like God, you love, but you know. If you know me, how can you love me? And God's saying, it's not about that. My love is not conditional. It's not based on who you are, what you've done, what you know, who you know. It's based on the fact that you love my son and the devotion and affection that I have for you, or for him, I also have for you. Now, you may have been brought up in a place where you felt that love was conditional and that acceptance was kind of based on merit. But let me tell you this morning, in case you didn't know, that the Father doesn't love like that. He just loves. He just accepts. He just welcomes in. Not because of what we've done or haven't done, but because of who his son was and who his son went to the cross to die for, which is you, which is me. He invites us in as sons and daughters, and we're adopted, each and every one of us, unto his own. For so long, I would try to reconcile this knowledge that I had about God with who I experienced, or like knowledge that I'd have about what scripture says about God and what I would hear other people preach. Like they were coming from a place of they had had it revealed, but I'm still stuck in scriptures without the revelation. And I would try to kind of reconcile two different ideas, especially like the anger and wrath of God with the love of God, they did not seem like they could coexist. And I knew of this wrath, and I always associated it with anger, and that in my sin, especially, he was angry with me. And when I read about wrath, I was like, oh, that wrath is coming for me because I'm a sinner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 21, one of my all-time favorite scriptures, says, "For our sake, God, the Father, made him, his son Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us all, so that in Jesus we would all be made righteous. Out of his great love for you and for me, he poured out on his son, the wrath and judgment that was reserved for you and for me." See, that anger and wrath that I thought God the Father had, he does have, but he poured it out on Jesus. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying, "God, take this cup from me." This cup was all the sins, with all the wrath, with all the judgment, with all the anger for sinners like you and me. And he gave it to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, now you drink it." And we can do one of two things with that. We can drink the cup, which I don't recommend you do, or we can allow Jesus to drink the cup, because that invitation is there. Would you let Jesus drink that cup for you? The anger you feel the Father may have towards you, or the disappointment, that's not yours to wear anymore, not through faith. The gospel message is that the Father's great love for you, he placed it upon Jesus so that you could come in boldly and unashamedly before him as sons and daughters. Another lie I think we can get roped into is the Father is not distant and he is not absent. Maybe you've experienced that before. And that might be a reality to you. It was for me very much so. It was symptomatic of the fact that I came up to pray that God would be more present in my life. But Deuteronomy chapter 31 says, "I will go before you and I will never leave or forsake you." That's God the Father talking. And it's okay if at times we feel like, man, God, you feel distant. You feel like you're over there and I'm over here and I'm struggling and stuff. We can have that tension between what we feel and what we know. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful conversation and a prayer that we can have with God the Father. If you read Job or you read the Psalms, it's very much based on, God, why have you forsaken me? Obviously, God hadn't forsaken David, but David felt like he had. And there's grace in that to boldly approach God, be like, God, where are you? Father God, where are you? I need you now more than ever. And in that prayer, in that being real with God, he'll come and meet you. I know he will. The promise is that he sends his Spirit, the Comforter, to be your protection, to be your peace, to be your ever-present help whenever you need. And last thing, the Father disciplines, but he disciplines beautifully and out of a place of love, always. Doesn't matter if you know discipline in an unhealthy way or you know discipline in a healthy way. What you need to know is that God, the Father, disciplines out of a beautiful place of love. And it's always done out of a heart to refine and purify us and sanctify us and conform us to the image of Jesus. When we read John chapter 15, the vine dresser, he comes and he prunes away that does not bear fruit so that it bears much fruit. In that this is God, how God disciplines us. He sees the things that don't look good and he prunes it so that we do look good. So as we're kind of finishing, I kind of touched on three different points. That God is angry, God is absent, or you feel he disciplines maybe out of a place, and that is creating a place of fear in your world. And if that's you in any three of those, I want to invite you up. We're going to have some prayer ministry team to come up. Like I said, if you didn't write notes about what I was talking about this morning, that's fine, because it's not about what I said, it's about right here. And I just want to invite you in that God is going to, number one, reveal who He is as the perfect Father, and He's going to break some things. So we've got some people who are ready to minister. But let me pray as the team leads us, and you guys come forward. Father God, we just pray. Firstly, Spirit of God, come and reveal the Father to us. That Your Spirit is prompting right now sons and daughters in areas, Father, that they have not known You as Father. And there is such a beautiful place where God is going to come and reconnect with His children this morning. And I know that as we walk away, they are going to feel lighter and chains are going to be broken. And we're going to be able to look and to pray and to talk to God as the Father that we know that we have. So I just pray, be glorified, be honored in the things that You're about to do to Your sons and daughters. Would you come forward if you want prayer?
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God, and I ask You to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God, and that You have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.